Well, hallelujah. Well, isn't God awesome? Hallelujah. How amazing is the Lord? Wow. Are you excited about serving the Lord? Are you excited about being a child of God? Well, you should be, because God is doing some amazing things all around us. And you don't have to be on the sidelines. You can be in the thick of it. And certainly, it is worth every effort. And how important it is for us as the people of God to be engaged, not only with the things that we need to do in order to survive, but to do the things that are needed to help hold one another up. And we're living in a very challenging and difficult day and age where the world is being indoctrinated at an outrageous rate in the ways of darkness, and evil is permeating every aspect of our lives. We're being pressured in, and we need the strength of God to stand. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Having done all to stand, stand therefore. And the reason we just have to stand is because the world is pushing. And when they're pushing, you got to be able to stand. And that is why it's exciting, because God has enough strength to hold back whatever the opposition might be. In fact, he brings down the strongholds of the enemy. Isn't that what the Word of God says? And so we have been talking about the appointed of God. And all summer we have been talking about being God's appointed, and how important it is for us to realize that we are the people of God, and we are called by his name. We have been born into this world for such a time as this. We are where we are who we are. All of these things are not by accident or by chance, but by divine plan. It's the providence of God that is at work in our lives. So you and I, we can have all of the fruit of the Spirit stirring within us. We can have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. It doesn't matter what the world is doing and what's happening out there, because we're of a different place. We are from the kingdom of God. We represent a whole different dynamic. And we draw from his strength so that we can make a stand, so that we can endure, so that we can overcome. And when evil comes in, the Word of God says that God will raise up a standard against him when Satan comes in like a flood. Hallelujah. Have you experienced the strength of God being imparted to you to make a stand? Oh, it's not easy, but I tell you, all you have to do is hold on. Hold on. Well, today we are talking about our theme here is Hope Happens Here. We have Pastor Michal, Pastor Raphael with us today, and together we will be talking about how hope happens here. And we have testimonies. We have the Word of God. We've got the Spirit of God working. We got the worship of the Lord happening. The glory of God is in the midst. Hallelujah. Are you excited about this?
Yes,
hallelujah. Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love what Shalay was saying, talking about Campus Crusade for Christ and a lot of these different groups on the college campuses, because young people today need support. They need the power of God, the strength of God in their lives. And it's hard when you're out there all by yourself, and it's easy to be overtaken. But when you can connect with the people of God, and that's why church is so important. We need each other. We need to be able to hold on and hold together so that we can stand against the enemy. Otherwise, your mind will start working against you. You know, I saw in our small group classes, one of the classes, I think she said it was mental health. It's actually spiritual warfare. And they kind of go together. But the enemy messing around in your head, the enemy will get in your head, and he will cause you to kind of become confused, to start thinking things, and you start making decisions that are not actually biblically sound decisions. And we have to have the wisdom of God so that we're not overcome. And the Word of God tells us that evil will increase more and more. And you and I have to have the wisdom of God. And we have to remember who we are and whose we are so that we can navigate through this in the wisdom of God. Hallelujah.
That's right.
So glory to God. So we're going to jump in. Are you ready? Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word today. And we ask, oh God, that as we dive into how hope happens here, Lord, and all that you are doing in the midst of us, we want to ask for ears to hear, hearing ears of what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, and that we would be able to rise up in the fullness of the Spirit of God, under the anointing of God. Lord God, that even as we go out of this place, we would go in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and with power, that the anointing of God would be stirring within us to sustain us and keep us. Use us, Lord, as your ambassadors, as your witnesses. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, O Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we're going to dive right in. I'm going to hand the mantle over to Pastor Raphael, and he's going to take us in. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Hi, I'm Pastor Raphael. Welcome to my TED Talk. Today we're going to be talking about the things of the Lord. The Lord. Praise God.
Let me all say it.
Go ahead, me. There it is.
There it is. Authentic.
Well, it is awesome because, you know, it's an example of just being in the presence of God, and you have to have joy when you're in the presence of God. And Amen. I think that it's safe to say, especially when we're all together up here, there's a whole lot of joy.
Hallelujah.
I think that sometimes we should dial it back a second, or at least that's what our wives tell us. And so it is awesome that we get to be able to... I hit that too soon. You stop that, computer. But one of the things that we were able to talk about, we're talking about hope happens here, right? And we're talking about homecoming, and we're talking about the fact that it's back to church Sunday. And the reality of this is, if it wasn't a place where you felt comfortable, if it wasn't a place where you felt okay, there would be nothing to come home to, right? And so what we want to start off with here is first a testimony, and a testimony of what it is to have a church to come back to. Amen?
Amen.
All right, well, let's hear it.
Hi, my name is Maureen Harris. And Bible hope meaning to me is the earnest expectation of good. Because God is always good, and hope in God's word will give you a good end. And when you take the promises of God for your life, whether it's healing, prosperity, family, you take the promises that says, by Jesus Christ you're healed, that's hope. And then as you lay hold of that word and you meditate on that word, the earnest expectation of that promise, which is hope, will give you the good expected end. Right at the present moment, your situation might be lack. Now you have hope that you can come out of being in lack. And so you take the promise of God and you said, Lord, you said in your word that you will meet my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So I believe your word, and I know the end result of my expectation in this word is going to be good, that my need will be met. So when you come to this church, you really is home. Sisters and brothers, we just love each other and help each other in whichever way we can. You'll definitely feel at home. The worship is great. The word is great. You'll definitely grow. The presence of God is here. It's just really a beautiful atmosphere where you could express yourself in worship, express yourself in hallelujah, amen, being yourself. And I truly do feel at home. And I have gained a family. So I love my sisters and brothers because we truly love each other and as one big happy family.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise Hallelujah. God. And, Hallelujah. You know, and in that atmosphere that gets built where you're able to express yourself, like she said, in your hallelujah and your amen, right? Amen. That atmosphere can only be built when it's built on the foundation of the Word of God.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And at the end of the day, in order to find hope, we must first find God, right? That's not right. That he was lost, right? God is, he created everything, right? So Jesus was probably the only man in existence that didn't have to ask for directions, right? Unless it was direction from God, right? So even if Jesus, wow, that means we have no excuse. We do have to ask for directions.
We do.
Talk about revelation.
So are you saying your wife was right?
Let's stick to the topic. So the fact of the matter is that the foundation that we have to build off of is the Word of God, right? Mm-hmm. And so when we had an opportunity in July to be able to start getting into the topic that was at hand, we talked about being appointed, suiting up, and getting ready to carry out the work that God has called us to carry out, okay? Everyone, the second you said yes and amen to God, was appointed to a work, right? And now I know that's a scary thing to say, and like, wait, hold up. I didn't sign up for anything. I didn't go to the table at the ministry fair and put my name on anything yet. But the second we say yes and amen to God, we were appointed to a work, right? Because God did not create you by mistake. God did not create you just because. God did not create you to take up space and breathe air. So as the little things, right? But he has created you for a purpose. He has appointed you for a work, right? And now I know that could be a scary thing to think about, right? But here's the awesomeness of God. He has given you everything you already need to carry out the work, right? We talked a lot about suiting up with the armor of God. In Ephesians 6:10-11, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Mm-hmm. And I praise God for that word, right? It says, put on the full armor, not part of it. The full armor of God. Right. Not so that you might be able to stand firm. Mm-hmm. Not to possibly be able to stand firm. Mm-hmm. It says that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Mm-hmm. And how do we know that? Because it started off with saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. That is how awesome God is. He custom fits you for your own set of armor. Make sure that it's unbreakable. Make sure that there is nothing that will be able to penetrate it. Leaves no weak spot in that armor and says, now that you have it on, don't worry, I'll do the work. Hallelujah. We put that armor on and he says, just show up for the work.
Yeah.
I will do the rest. And how great of a hope is it to know that we serve a God that makes sure every need that we have is met before we even recognize we have a need. Amen? Praise God Hallelujah. For his word.
Amen.
Praise God for his word.
Amen. Ooh. Hallelujah. You know, what's Ooh. So awesome about that is that, you know, it's the armor of God that enables you to stand.
Amen.
You know, as long as you have it on, it'll hold you up. And that's the amazing thing. And, you know, we did We did a whole series on the armor of God, and you know, the whole month of July, we were talking about how important it is to be suited up, to be prepared for whatever is coming our way. And a lot of times, we're reactionary. In other words, when something happens, then we want to call on God, or we want to say, oh, we're trying to put the fire out. We're trying to, you know, solve the problem. But God's word is preemptive, so that before there is a fire, he's already got the extinguishers in place.
That's right.
And at work. And so, you know, you and I ought to be ahead of the game. We know what's coming. We know what's happening. So God says, be prepared. Put your armor on. So when you said, nobody wants to have to put armor on while the arrows are coming at you.
Exactly.
Right? You know, you're getting shot up. The bullets are flying. And now you're trying to put on protective gear in order to be able to survive. And that's unfortunate, but it's the way a lot of people live. And they go through their daily life, and they just get hit with things, and they're not really prepared for it because they haven't put their armor on. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, we're talking about having the mindset of Christ going into your day. When you get up in the morning, we have to commit our way to the Lord. We have to ask God to give us wisdom, and we're walking with God throughout the day. We pray without ceasing, right? We're meditating on the word of God day and night, so that when somebody comes up and they say something that is designed to trigger a nerve to get to you, because you're in a different place, you're in the spirit because you're meditating on the word of God, and you're just coming out of prayer, then you're able to smack that thing down.
Yeah.
Because you see it coming while it's even stirring. So instead of getting angry, you're able to sense that this thing is stirring at you. You're able to say, devil, you're a liar. You will not take me there. I will not go there.
That's right.
And you're able to be ahead of it because you're coming out of the presence of God, or you're in the spirit of God, and your mind is reflecting on the things of God rather than just being idle.
Yep.
Or just being focused on even just doing the tasks that you normally would need to do in order to survive. Those are all things that we all have to do. They're all good things, but there's no power in them.
That's right.
And so when you come under attack, you're just going to be overwhelmed, and now you're going to be reacting because you're coming from that place of being busy and in your mind not really in a strong place.
Yep.
And when you're anchored in the word of God, if you're reflecting on the scripture, or you know, you have worship music going on in the background to kind of help you support, you're creating an atmosphere where the Spirit of God can work, and it keeps you in a right mind. Yep. And that's what enables you to make wise decisions and godly decisions, so that, you know, you're not foolish, you know, and you're not just taking things for granted or operating on a whim, but you're operating in the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. He says, put on a mask, you know, or he'll say, don't go over there, go over here. Don't do this, do that. Don't, you know, but God will give us wisdom in how we're operating and navigating through life, so that we're not being overwhelmed or overtaken by the very thing that's designed to take us out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, one of the examples that I use when we were able to share that word was when I was in the military, when we were in an active combat zone, we always had our armor on because we knew that at any time the enemy was going to be able to hit, you know?
Right.
But, I mean, we got to sleep, right? And even when we were sleeping, if an attack were to come in while we were sleeping, there was still a concrete bunker that we could run to, right? You didn't have time to put on the armor. You didn't have time to do all that because you were sleeping. But we still had a concrete bunker that we knew we could run to. Sometimes we go along in this walk and we fall asleep in the process. But even when we fall asleep in the process, God has still given us a strong tower to run into.
Yeah.
And as we go through this walk, we are not perfect. Right. We will fall. We all fall short of the glory of God.
Right.
And when those moments come, and if we had not submitted that to God and we fell asleep in our walk, we should still have that sense to say, God, you're still my first choice.
Like, get to the bunker.
Get to the bunker. And when you get to the bunker, God says, don't worry, your armor's right here. So once we get out of the situation, God still says, don't worry, you fell asleep for a moment, but I got you. You're still right here. That's how awesome God is.
Absolutely. That's awesome. Well, hallelujah. Well, Pastor Michal, he took us in August, and so we're going to take a look at that right after another testimony.
Hi, my name is Leona Figueroa, and I'm a new member of Orange County Gospel Fellowship. I've been here since May 21st of this year. I was a new member, and it's kind of funny how God works. So last year, May 21st, 2021, my father passed away, Richard Figueroa, and he was a member at Orange County Gospel Fellowship. And I was looking for a church home. I had been living in the area since 2020 and was visiting a lot of churches and never came here until he had passed away. We held the memorial here. Pastor Shelley and the team was so kind to hold a memorial here in his honor. And since that time, I've been coming here. And exactly 1 year to the day of his death, I became a member of the church. And so it's just amazing. I'm excited to be here. Only God can orchestrate something like that. Hope to me means Jesus, first of all. When I think of hope, I think of Jesus. Because no matter what trial or circumstance that I'm going through that is difficult, I keep my eyes on Jesus, and I know that there's always hope that the circumstance is not the end, that I will come through this, that this too shall pass. And so I just keep focused on Jesus and the hope that he gives me. And since being a member at OCF, just Pastor Shelley and the team, they're so focused on preaching the word. They don't give opinion. They just stick to the word of God, and it just increases my relationship with the Lord. You just get so much word, and for me, I love to study the word of God, and so it just gives me something to grab onto. Every week I can be guaranteed that I'm going to learn something new from the word of God that Pastor Shelley is preaching. And it increases my hope in God. And so I'm just excited to be a part of this church. Since being at OCF, my mother is now coming to the church. She has now been to church. And so now she's coming to church. My uncle's coming to church. I have multiple family members now that come to church, and they come here also at OCGF, and they just love it just the same. And so I'm excited to see how God is moving in my life since I have been coming to this church.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise
God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Praise God. Yeah.
So praise God. So who's excited about what the Holy Spirit is doing?
Amen.
Right? Like, who's really excited about what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life particularly, right?
That's right.
You know, we don't talk about what we're going to speak on at the panel, right? But every single time we come up here, the Holy Spirit just does he just starts off Pastor Raphael and kind of follows through, and the topic just kind of follows through, right? But last month, the Holy Spirit really gave me the message on Christianity, but yeah. progressive
Christianity.
That was the word. Progressive Christianity, right?
Redefining.
There you go. But it's a relabeling of the term progressive Christianity. Yeah. There's known as a movement out there, and it's not about the movement. This is a progressive Christianity where you become saved, and then you walk out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? And God continues to renew you and bring you from image to image and glory to glory. So if you think about progressive Christianity, that's the only progressive Christianity that really is, that really should be thought of or sought after, right? That you progress through your wisdom, through your maturity with God, right? And I love this because he brought me to Joshua and the story of the retelling, not even the story, the retelling of a historical event, right? Of the fall of Jericho, right? Now, as you go through this, you know, to me, I love this picture here, because you know, there's so many times we face something in our lives, right? And we figure out how to get through it. Or we even come before God and we try to figure out what God is saying to us in this, right? But God is showing us here, as we look at this event in Jericho, right? That God has a very precise way for each and every one of us to handle every problem that we face. And God already has an answer for your problem. God has a desire to, not just for the problem you're going through, but there's a specific way that God wants you to walk out your relationship with Him. And it's not just as a church. Yes, there is a mandate for the church, but there is a mandate for each and every one of us as we come into the kingdom of God. God has a special design for each and every one of us. Amen. And as we go through this, we'll see it. And it's not just general. It's not just you become saved and now kind of follow what everybody else is doing or kind of just do what you think is right. God has a plan for each one of our lives, and He makes it very specific. And as we look at these chapters or these verses in chapter 6 of Joshua, we'll see that God brings them through a very systematic way. And only because they stick to that is God's word fulfilled, right? So we're going to go through verses 1 through 5, then 10 through 15, and end up in verse 20. So we'll read 1 through 5. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one out and no one came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and the valiant warriors. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. And also 7 priests shall carry 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up, every man straight ahead." So if we look at that instruction, right? Here is a nation of Israel, right? That had come out of captivity for hundreds of years in Egypt. Right, they were walking through the desert for 40 years, right? So now they come to the promised land. God had just, you know, stopped at the Jordan. They cross in, and the first thing they meet is this walled city, right? Yep. And this walled city was beyond their capability to tear down, right? So Joshua goes before God. God gives Joshua this instruction. If I'm following Joshua in this time, I'm not going to have a lot of confidence in Joshua's leadership, because this does not sound like a plausible plan to take down the walls of Jericho, right? There's so many times in our lives where we come before God and we have an issue and God gives us a solution, but it doesn't sound plausible to us. And we're like, "Lord, I can't imagine, that can't be right." You know, and we just kind of didn't try to do it ourselves, or figure we're not hearing from God or whatever. But when we're in our prayer closet and God gives us a word, regardless of how it sounds to you, do it. You know, because that's God's instruction. So many times, who are we to instruct God on His plans, right? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts, right? If you were given this instruction to walk around these walls of Jericho 6 times, once each day, and then 7 times on the 7th day, and then blow a trumpet, and these walls that were, you know, stories high would just crumble. That does not sound like a solid plan of attack. You know, but God gave that attack and gave that word, and Joshua delivered it to the people, and the people actually heard the call of God. Yeah. But I love what it says here. Where was it? "You should march on the city, men of war." So this is the next one. Yes, okay. So in that, as God was giving them these instructions, right? And as they were going out to fulfill or walk out the plans of God, there was specific instructions. What specific instruction has God given you in your life? Or how long has it been since you've heard specific instructions for your life? It's not that God doesn't have them. It's, are we going into that prayer closet with expectation of hearing from God? Are we actually reading His word? Not because it's a Christian mandate, but because we want to know God. We want to see what God has to say in my situation, right? We want to know what God has to say with a co-worker, with a family member, whatever it may be. Are we going before God with that expectation? When we worship God, are we worshiping Him because He's worthy? Not because we like the song, not because we like the genre, not because of any of that stuff, but because God is worthy to be praised. Amen. And we're coming and saying, "Lord, I am praising and worshiping You only because You're worthy of my praise." Hallelujah. And I'm entering into this prayer closet to hear from You, because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this situation. Right. And you know, if we don't know what to do, this is from this instruction, don't move ahead until you hear from God. Mm. Now, if you hear from God and you know, you're not sure, but God, you feel you've heard from God, walk that out. If you were wrong and if you've misheard God, God is perfectly able to bring us back to the starting point and reset our situation, right? And he will continue to do that until we hear from him correctly. Because sometimes we have to tune our ears to hear God, right? Jesus said so many times, those who have ears to hear, let them hear, right? But you have to tune your ears to the Holy Spirit, right? So when you're in that prayer closet, expect to hear from God and expect to hear specific instructions from God, right?
Yep.
So now in Joshua 10:15 it says, but Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I tell you, shout. Then you shall shout. And I love this. And that's what I was looking for earlier. But yeah, that's what I love this instruction, right? Because had Joshua not said this to the people, think about what would have happened. As they're walking around Jericho, they would have been grumbling. They would have been complaining. Oh, how ridiculous is this? What's Joshua doing now? You know, they would have been grumbling and complaining about the plan of God, right? And that is something that we have to be very careful of in our Christian walk, right? If you're not sure what God is doing in the situation that you're in, be silent. Exactly. Do not speak. Do not try to come against it because it doesn't make sense to you. Right. But even in that moment, say, Lord, help me to understand what it is you're doing here. Right. Help me to see what it is that you're doing. Right. Help me to understand the plan that you have for this situation. Right. And then as we start to understand that, God knew that he knew the hearts of the Israelites. You know, they were grumbling the whole way to the wilderness, right? So when he gave them this plan, I guarantee you, as they're walking around the first day, they may have been okay. The second day, they're like, come on, really? Look at these walls. You think they're going to fall down? And that's what we do. God gives us a word, and we start walking around our problem. It may take you days. It may take you weeks to walk around that problem. But as we're walking around, do we get tired of walking around and start to grumble that God hasn't got our situation handled? That God isn't giving us the proper instruction? And we start grumbling, and all of a sudden, we drop the plan that God has in place, and we start doing it our own way. You know, had the Israelites done that, we would never be reading this. We would never be reading about the miracle that God did in Jericho, right?
Yeah.
So it's crucial that when God gives you a word, or when you see something happening around you, don't initially just, you know, speak against it because you don't understand what's going on. Go to God and ask God for wisdom. Ask God to show you and to give you understanding for what's going on. And then it goes on. So he says, so he's had the ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once. Then they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Now Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took the ark took the ark of the Lord up. And the seven priests carrying the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets, and the armed men went before the team. And the rear guard came after the ark of the Lord while they continued to blow the trumpets. Thus, the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, they rose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. Only that day they marched around the city seven times. So here they were. I mean, this is just amazing to me. I know if this was me, I would have been one of those ones that was just like questioning, looking at these walls and trying to think of the physics that was go behind it, the actual, you know, the reality that was there, right? How many of us get into that situation? How many of us are facing a mortgage payment that we know we can't make, right? God tells us, go to your room and pray. I want you to go to your room and pray about it. That's all I want you to do for this month. That would sound ridiculous to us. That how is that going to happen? Each day we look, we're not going to work overtime. We're not going to start borrowing for someone else. We're not going to start making plans to pay that mortgage. But if God says to go to your room and pray, God will make sure that's happened. You know, we have to start trusting that God is the God that spoke this very universe into existence. So that's if God says, go do this, then if God wants that to be the plan in the end of the month, and God says, let the mortgage payment be in the bank, the mortgage payment will be in the bank. And we don't need to worry about the details. We need to just stick to the plan that God gives us. You know, not try to second guess, not try to make sense of it, not to try and understand, Lord, hang on a sec. And even if that plan fails, right? Because we misheard, right? Don't allow that to discourage you. Don't let the enemy creep in and say, oh, see, God's not on your side. The thing is that we haven't attuned our ears correctly. Go back to God and say, Lord, show me. Help me to hear. Give me ears to hear so that I might hear. Give me ears that are attuned to your Holy Spirit so that when I walk, whatever the situation may be, whatever the situation you face, you know, every one of us are here this morning. There are issues in our lives. There are people in our lives that we want to bring into the kingdom of God. There are issues in our lives that we want to be liberated from. There's things that we are walking through that we want God to handle. Mm-hmm. And God says, I already have given you the answers. But you just need to come and sit with me, and I'll tell you those answers. I'll speak those answers to you, and then you will be able to walk that out with a confidence, knowing that God is managing your problems. He's no longer, just like Pastor Raphael was saying about when you put on that armor, right? When you hit that bunker, right? That's because your trust is in God, not in your abilities. It's the same thing with the issues that we are facing every day. It's the same thing with the stuff we are struggling with. We come into the Lord, we come in a mess, and God starts to clean us up. It doesn't happen overnight, but we walk out our salvation with fear and trembling with the Lord, right? So it only makes sense that we would have to come before him each and every day and say, Lord, what is your instruction for me today? Right. If I get up in the morning and I just go about my day, how do I know I'm doing anything that God wants me to do? I'm just doing what I believe to be the right thing to do. We have to start out our day saying, Lord, what are we doing today? What are we doing today? What work are you doing that you want me to be your co-laborer in? You know, I'm not the one doing the work. I'm just joining God in the work he's doing. And once we start looking at our lives that way, everything we do will have meaning. Everything we do will have a prospect of being awesome. You'll be actually looking for miracles in the areas you're in. You know what I'm saying? As you're walking around that Jericho problem that you have, as you're walking around the Jericho problem of a co-worker or a family member, God will actually start to give us the actual plan and purpose for each and every day that we're doing that, right? And then as we do that, our confidence grows, our maturity grows, our wisdom grows, everything starts growing, and then all of that starts to culminate together, and then we start to realize the authority that we have in Christ. That Christ died for that authority. He died to take that authority back from the enemy and give it to us. We don't even understand the authority we have in this world. Right? It's not our authority, but the authority God gives, right, to us.
Amen.
And as ambassadors, right? How many of us truly walk into our job site saying, I am an ambassador of Christ? Even if you don't declare it, I'm not talking you to walk into your office and say, all right, I'm here, I'm an ambassador of Christ. You know, you could. I'm not saying not to, but... if the Lord says it, exactly. If the Lord says it, that's a very good point, yeah. But at the same time, you should know that you are. You should know that you are, no matter what situation you're facing, you should know that you are going in as an ambassador of Christ. And that nothing, just like the armor, nothing can make you fall back. You should be able to stand, because when you're fully, right, fully clothed in that armor, standing, right, because you know you're standing in the authority, Amen. You know you're standing Amen. In the power of God, right? And this will be our result, just like it was in Jericho, right? Mm-hmm. In 20, it says, so the people shouted and the priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout and the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city.
Amen.
Victory was there because they followed God's plan.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? There's nothing saying here. They grumbled or complained. They just went out and did what God told them to do. Right? That's what we need to do. We need to lay hold of that. It's that easy. We just sit before God. We come and we read the word of God to know God. We come together as a church body, not to just come to church and check off a box. Yeah, I went to service today. I'm a good Christian. That's not the purpose of coming to church. Coming to church is that we can actually have brothers and sisters, you know, encourage us in our walk. Even look at our walk and say, brother, are you sure that's the way you want to be walking? You know what I'm saying? And if that does come, don't just dismiss it. Like, because God would put that person in your life to let you know that what you can't see. Right? So even if an unsafe person walks up to you and gives you critique, God used a donkey in the scriptures. So don't think that he can't use someone else to come and give you a word of rebuke, right?
That's right.
So don't just say, no, that's not God. he's unsaved. I'm not going to listen to him. Don't think of it that way. God can use anybody at any time, right? And if that's a message that God has for us, then we need to look at that and say, Lord, how do not let me change my life. Lord, not let me give up this or let me give up that, but Lord, deliver me from this. Give me the actual ability to see what it is that you are doing and how it is that you are working my deliverance out. Because there's a difference between giving something up and being delivered for something. Giving something up, you'll always have an urge or a temptation towards it. When you're delivered, you'll be free of it completely. And that's what God wants us. He wants us to live lives that are not just life. He wants to live life abundantly. And that's how you start. And that's how you continue to walk in an abundant life. Because you're coming before God, you're hearing the voice of God, you're reading the scriptures to glean from the word of God, and you're coming to church so that your brothers and sisters can encourage you, can rebuke you, can, you know what I'm saying, have all this effect is what happens when the body comes together. And then we'll be able to walk in that abundancy, in that abundant life. Right. And I'm not talking about riches and money, all that may come, right? But the abundant life that God is talking about is one that we know God. We can hear God. We know that wherever it is that we're walking, that God is walking with us, right? And that we have that confidence that no matter what situation we find, that God is there. God has an answer. We just need to be able to hear. Right. And that is the abundant life. So praise God this morning. Yes.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And, you know, I love that whole principle, because When you have the armor on and you're established in the armor of God, you know, then you can march around the wall. You know, they didn't just march around the walls, but they were prepared. They knew. These, you know, they could have been taking pock shots at them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you want to be armored up. And even as they went around the walls, keeping quiet is another way that God's will can be accomplished. And there's not discouragement being established. Because a lot of times, you know, God is trying to do something in our lives and we're around the wrong people. And they're criticizing and they're saying all these things and they're questioning everything. And they're like, oh, well, they're doing this or they're doing that or they're saying this and they're saying that. And we have to learn how to shut all of that out and be able to hear what is the Spirit of God actually saying, and not allow other people to be a distraction in our lives, and to be able to stand firm and stand strong according to what the Spirit of God is saying. That's why, you know, the Scripture says, don't believe every spirit, right? Yeah, beloved, don't believe
every spirit,
but test the Spirit to see whether or not it's of God. Well, how do you test the Spirit? Because you're listening to the Spirit. First of all, every human being is a vessel that is under the influence of some type of spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Every single person that is alive in the world is under some form of spiritual influence.
Amen.
That's important to understand. And so when he's talking about don't believe every spirit, he's that don't believe everything people say and don't buy into it, don't believe it, but test it to see if it is in alignment with the truth of God's word.
Amen.
And as long as it's in alignment with the truth of God's word, you can manage it accordingly. You can receive it, and you'll know what to do based on what it is. And as we understand that, we're able to stand and trust God so that as we go around, as the walls, you know, we're blowing it's the sound of the trumpet and the shout of the people in their obedience, in their walk, that brought the walls down.
Amen.
Right? And that's what God is doing in our lives. He says, armor up, suit up, and then walk in obedience, and don't try to figure it out. Don't try to understand it. Just trust in the Lord with all your heart and all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. All these different passages God gives us to support this. And as we do that, we're girded up, we're strengthened up, and we're able to see the witness of God come to fruition. And God reveals himself in powerful ways. And that's what you see in the whole story of Israel coming through the wilderness.
That's right.
Right? It was a miracle that the 10 plagues of Egypt. And that said, okay, I can trust God to cross the Jordan now. Now you get in the wilderness, and now you got to fight the Amalekites and all these various groups that are attacking you, that are coming your way. And then you got people who are complaining, right? They were complaining. Yeah. They were saying, oh, you know, you got the Korahs. There's always a Korah somewhere in your life. The person who is complaining, questioning what other people are saying, whether or not we should believe it or whether we should follow it. And there's always going to be Korahs in your life. And that's why they walked around for 20 years and God got rid of the Korahs. He wiped them out, right?
That's right.
Like you said, the ground opened up and they fell in. Other people were consumed by fire.
They got
others,
a new name.
Others were consumed by a plague, right? Mm-hmm. There was a plague that came on. And, you know, they were there 20 years. God brought them to Jericho 20 years before we get to chapter 6 in Joshua. And they didn't listen. There were 10 spies that had a negative report. Yep. And the issue wasn't, can you beat them? Can you defeat them? The question was, do you believe God can bring Amen. Them down? Can God defeat them? And that's the aspect that we have to always hold on to. It's God who fights for us. It's the Lord who goes before us. You don't have to worry. I don't have to worry. Yeah, we have issues. We got problems. But that's why we bring them to God, because he has the answer. He is the one who is able to navigate us and bring us through. That's why we pray. That's why we pray ahead of time. You know it. We see it coming. We say, God, I'm giving this to you. I'm trusting in you. Lord, I'm looking to you. So our prayer life is we're establishing ourselves so that we can stand against the enemy as he comes. And then God, because they didn't believe, they had to spend 20 years. God says, I'm going to wait till all of the unbelieving, unreliable, unfaithful people die off.
That's right.
God said, I'm going to wait till they die off. So they just hung out for 20 years going around again. And they took another lap around the wilderness. 20 years later, all the negative people, all the critical people were moved out of the way. Now the kids, right? 20 years and older, those are the guys who were alive, who survived. So now, did you learn from your parents' mistakes? Did you learn from the experiences that you saw growing up? Or are you going to repeat those same mistakes and have those same experiences? Because now God has given them a new chance.
Amen.
And so God says, we're crossing over the Jordan now. Let's see if you can trust me to cross the Jordan. If you make it across the Jordan, then we'll deal with the walls of Jericho. And God brings them down, right? Mm-hmm. And then God's faithful on every side until they end up conquering all of the land as they're faithful to God. And of course, we know about Achan, and there's different people mm-hmm. who were there who didn't listen. And everybody suffered the consequences for it. But once they were dealt with, God was able to move forward. And once we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. So when we fall short, we rise again. The righteous may fall 7 times, but they rise again, the scripture says.
Praise God.
And we have to learn how to get back up. We all make mistakes. We all sin. We all do. You know, life is not easy. It's hard. That Satan is crafty, and we have been indoctrinated by this world. We have all been indoctrinated by this world, and we are led to believe things from a certain perspective. That's what the news is doing. That's what TV programming is doing. That's mm-hmm. what movies are doing. They're all forms of indoctrination to get you to believe in a particular standard or moral code that is contrary to God. And that's because we live in a fallen world. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. This is his domain. Everyone who has not been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb is under Satan's authority, under Satan's influence. And that includes us when we fail to follow the plan of God. And so Christ comes in and he redeems us.
That's right.
He redeems us and he says, here, I'm giving you a strategy. I'm giving you the plans. I'm showing you the way to life. And it's up to us to believe him and obey his word. When we obey his word, we get godly results. But when we stray and go back to our old ways, then we're going to fall into the realm of darkness. And then we reap that which we have sown, right?
Yes.
What you sow, you will reap. And that's why we sow the word of God. We sow the truths of God. We follow the directions of God. We're not going to do a lot of talking. We're not going to do a lot of, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. Well, you know they're not right. And No, we zip it because you don't know. You don't know what's going on. There's more to it than what you actually know because you're not privy to all of the interactions and information. You only know what your part is. Your part is to walk according to the direction of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And don't worry about what somebody else is doing. You make sure you walk.
That's right.
You know, you make sure that you're following the plan of God and the will of God, and you will see the blessing of God come upon your life, and God will make a way for you as long as you align yourselves with the Word of God. And when we join together, that gives us strength. We help each other to stand. And that's why we don't criticize people. Look, you sinned, you fell into sin. We understand how that could happen. Yeah. Happens to all of us in one way or another. Yeah. And so we're here to help hold you up. Look, you know, we're here to help you get up, because it's in the getting up that you can overcome the sin. All right, now just don't do that again. Now at least you know what not to do, right?
Right?
You know what not to do. And as long as you know what not to do, you won't repeat the same mistake twice. So we help each other to get up, and we say, Lord, show us your way. Help us, God. And we help each other. And we help each other to stand. Because just because I saw what you did and it was wrong doesn't mean that I didn't do anything that was wrong. It just means you didn't see it. So, you know, so I'm not even in a place where I could even say anything about trying to hold you down about the wrong that you're doing. So we all are in that place and in that position in one way or another. And that is why we have to have the love of God. And we have to sustain each other according to the Word of God and let the Spirit of God be our strength.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, and it's important for us to be able to, differentiate a critical spirit and a rebuking spirit.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Critical spirits are there to just make you feel bad about what you did.
Right.
A rebuking spirit is to help you improve and help you not to do it again,
right,
kind of a deal.
Right.
And the Word of God is very intentional, right?
Yes.
And one of the things that I love about this particular verse is the fact that when the walls fell down, they fell down flat. Mm-hmm. They didn't fall down in piles where you still had work to do that you had to climb over the piles. They fell down flat so that now the walls are down, you go in.
They became a bridge.
They became a bridge between the outside and your problem and your solution,
right?
And so when God has walls that come down in your life, they are not coming down to cause you more issues or more work. They come down and provide you direct access to the solution that God has for you in your life. It's not something that is going to be questioned, like Pastor Michal was saying. Maybe during the process, you might have a couple of things to say. But when God gets you through it, there's no doubt that God is the one that got you through it.
Right?
Right. All we have to do is make sure that we get to the seventh day.
Yeah.
The devil's going to try everything that he can to make you quit on day six. But God is going to give you everything it is that you need to see day seven and see the walls come down flat in your life.
Right.
And so that you can walk over those problems into the promise that God has for you.
One last thing before you. I know you're going to take off.
Yeah.
I just want to say one last thing, because just remember that God says that Jesus redeemed us.
Yes.
Right? He did not make us infallible.
Right.
So when we walk with the Lord and we meet a problem that we may have already decided, this is the way I'm going to do it.
Right.
And a brother or sister comes and says, well, are you sure about that? And starts actually, you know, not like you said, grumbling about it, but bringing conviction on that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Be willing to listen.
Right.
Don't be willing. Don't fight about it.
Yep.
But
right.
be willing to actually hear what each person has to say and then bring that back to God and say, Lord, give me the wisdom to discern all of this.
Right.
Because God's desire is, that's why God put us together as a church. That's why he says, do not forsake the gathering of the body, right?
Right.
Because as we gather and as we share psalms and spiritual songs,
right?
And as we share, you know, our testimonies with each other, and as we start to hear and see what each other are doing, and we start to help each other to get through that, what it is that we're doing, then God will bring the wisdom that is needed And right, well, then we will actually learn how to progress in our Christianity. We will actually learn how to walk in God. We will learn how to hear. Because, you know, the thing is that we can be in a situation that God can say, go heal that brother or sister, right? Go lay your hands on them, right? And as you're walking there, in your own mind, you're like, ah, I don't know if I, I don't think I've got the power to do that. I don't think I've got this. And you're already arguing yourself out of actually having that ability to do that, right? But even still, even if you go there with confidence and someone else is there and they start saying, well, you think you can do this? I don't know. I remember you're just this or whatever. That could actually start diminishing the actual power and the impact that the Holy Spirit will have in that place because of your doubt in the ability of the Holy Spirit to do that. So we have to come before God. And when God speaks to us, act boldly because God has given you a word. God has given you a direction. And if God has given you direction, don't let anybody, even Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan.
That's
right? Because he thought what Peter thought he was doing was good. But it wasn't good. And Jesus showed him that. So we have always got to be careful of that. But we have to hear from God. And the only place you can hear from God is by being in pursuit of God.
Amen.
You have to be actively pursuing God in prayer, in worship, in the word, in fellowship. All these things come together. And then we start to progress in our Christianity.
That's right.
Yeah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, the scripture says, in the presence of many counselors, there's
wisdom.
And that's why it's important for everyone to be studying the Word of God, to know what the Word of the Lord is saying. And when we get together, we're able to help each other and speak into each other's lives so that we can overcome obstacles. We become aware of things. We begin to see things from a little different perspective other than the one that we have. And it broadens our ability to learn and to grow and to stand against the strategies
of the enemy,
of the enemy, you know, and that's what God is trying to work out. That's why Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, because God knows we've been indoctrinated by this world. You know, it's funny. The world says, oh, the Christians are trying to indoctrinate their kids, you know, and religious people are in there. No. That's a mind trick. That's the Jedi mind trick. Satan is the one who's already indoctrinated the world against the whole design of God. That the way God designed the world, the way he orchestrated the world to work and to function, has been
twisted,
flipped upside down by Satan. And he's now got the world believing that the world is right side up when it's upside down. And we've all been indoctrinated into this perspective and point of view that is contrary to God. So when we come to God, God says, be renewed in your mind. He says, meditate on the word day and night. Why? Because you're constantly in an environment and an atmosphere that's designed to mess with your head, to get you to think a certain way. And if you're not allowing the word of God to give you insight so that you can see things correctly or wisely, you're going to be buying into a whole perspective that's contrary to God. And then you're going to reap what you've sown. And in the end, you end up coming up short. And so we're in a whole different place. That's why we're not of this world, the Word of God says.
Yes,
why? We come from outside of this world. We come from the realm of the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not in the world. It's like a painter paints a picture or a sculptor creates a sculpting. You know, he's not in the picture. He's not in the sculpture, but he's outside of it and he's creating it. And it's a thing that is designed and created by him, but it is not them. And that's what the world, that's what the universe is like. This has all been created by God. He's bigger than the universe.
That's right.
The universe is like a museum of different designs and creations that God has made. And we're just inside the museum of God. And so when we look at all that's happening around us, we have to have a heavenly perspective, because the Word of God, that's why it's so powerful. The Word of God is powerful because it transforms us. Hallelujah. Writes things, it turns things around. Yeah. So now you're seeing things correctly. And if you're not careful, it's easy to get flipped around because, you know, everything is going the wrong way. You know, when I was in London it was a while ago. You know, one of the biggest challenges is driving on London streets. When you drive, you're so used to having the wheel on the right and everything being on the right, you know, being on the right side and the wheel on the left, right? You know, when you get into an environment where it's the other way, it's hard to navigate. In fact, I know somebody who had an accident because they were passing someone, and when they were coming at the car, they naturally reflexed by their old way, by driving in the U.S., and they went the wrong way because they're used to going to the right or to the, get out of the way instead of to the left. And over there, because everything was flip-flop, they literally turned into the traffic. And that's what happens to us in the world. When we're living according to the way of God and the will of God, we're following the plan of God. But when you're out in the world, you're it's like being on the opposite side of the road, and everybody's driving reverse to the way you're driving. And if you're not careful, you're gonna have a crash, because you're gonna find yourself going into the wrong lane. And that's what God is trying to avoid. We're trying to help each other stay to the right, stay to the right, stay to the right. You know, and when we stay to the right, God is able to keep us alive, keep us safe, so that we don't find ourselves crossing over into oncoming traffic because we're reacting the way we would in the world because we're used to everything being on the other side. And so God says, be transformed. And so that's what you and I are experiencing. And that's why we need each other. All right, we're running late here. And can you give us a few minutes to finish this? Are you okay? All right, great. We have another testimony. And then I'm going to read through a couple of passages, and we're going to close out. All right? So here we go.
Joe. What does hope mean to me? Hope to me is trusting in God. Trusting in God that no matter what happens, He's not going to leave me hanging out to dry. Having faith in Him, in my obedience. But hope to me is just trusting that no matter what happens, everything's going to be okay. Even if it doesn't turn out the way I want it to be, it's still going to be okay. Being in this church, they were there when I was hopeless. And they give me the tools and help me seek wisdom through the Word of God to try to be more patient and be more loving. And they were there for me when I was down. I've kind of learned to be a little bit more patient over the years and just kind of wait on God, whether it be at work or whether it be at home. You know, God gives me the patience and the love to deal with whatever situation I go through, and whether it be changing hearts or changing or opening doors and closing doors, I have to be patient and not try to handle it my way. Because sometimes when I interfere, then, you know, it's like going, starting over sometimes. So, but because of the fact that, because I am in this church, and this is a Bible reading church, Bible teaching church, that they were able to teach me better so that I can rely on God's word and trust in God, to wait on Him, have patience, and have hope. So my hope is in God.
Hallelujah.
Well, the best thing I could tell them to do is just engage and get in, try to jump in, and you know, things will happen. Things will just take course because, I mean, everybody here is so friendly. And it's, you know, you'll find your place. It won't take you long to find your place in this church because they'll find you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, hallelujah. And this really is a place where hope happens. And Joe is right. Joe, you were right, brother. You know, we will find you. Hallelujah. And, you know, and that's why we're here. We're here because we know that life is hard. It's challenging. And you know, none of us can do it by ourselves. We need each other. Exactly. So amen. When we see somebody, we like, we grab on and say, you know, how you doing? You're hanging on all right? You doing okay? You know, because we know how challenging and difficult life can be.
That's right.
And, you know, it's great to be a part of the house of God. David said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. And saints of God, especially here, you will never go hungry being a part of our church. I'm going to tell you right now. You will not. Food you don't ever have to worry about, because you will always have something to eat. Once the word gets out, believe me, we're coming to you. And so, you know, it's a beautiful thing, and it's a great experience, but this is why the church exists. Our church is here to help families and to help you guys and help all of us to be able to stand in this evil day. Amen. And amen. Christ is coming back, saints of God. And right. When Jesus comes, we need to be found working. We need to be about our Father's business. Mm. We can't operate in fear. We can't be operating, you know, out of our own wants and needs. But we're here to fulfill the will of God and the call of God. And that's why God is doing exciting, really exciting things. And I really encourage you to sign up outside. You know, hook up and find out what's happening. You guys have gifts. You got skills. You got talents. You got abilities. Let's use them to build the kingdom of God. There's so many people that need help and that are looking for encouragement and support in various ways. And that's what we're all here for. We're all here to provide that as God works through us. And that's what he is going to do. I'm just going to share a couple of verses with you. In 1 Peter 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Hallelujah. That is why Jesus died. He gives us hope, saints of God. He gives us hope. He causes it. It's not like you had it or it was a part. No, it doesn't exist, but he causes it. He can speak it into being. And when you're born of God, when you're born of the Spirit of God, when you receive Christ, hope comes into your life.
Hallelujah.
Now you have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness.
Goodness.
Man, we were all something before Christ came to us, and it wasn't good. And so now you may say, I'm still not that good, but you're better than you were. Hallelujah. You sure are better than you were. And we're moving in the right direction. We are growing in God. We are experiencing God. In fact, in Psalm 119, the psalmist writes, "I hate those who are double-minded, but I love your law."
Amen.
Double-minded means you're going from the way the world sees things to the way God sees things. You're operating God's way, then you're operating the world's way, and you kind of all spun back and forth. That's double-mindedness. In fact, James says, and Pastor Michal brought this up, he, if you're double-minded, you can't expect God to do anything for you. Mm. Don't expect anything from God if you're one way, you're thinking this way, and then another day you're thinking that way, or in the morning you're one way, in the afternoon you're another way. No, you can't experience God when you're operating that way. We need to be anchored in the Lord. We need to be fixated on what the will of the Lord is. What does the Word of God say? He goes on, he says, "You are my hiding place." That's the shelter of God. We run into God. You are my shield. He's the shield. That's when you don't have the armor. Look, run into God. And look, there's going to be times when you're going to be facing problems. You're going to face issues and have all kinds of things. And it might be overwhelming to you. Just run. Run into the house of the Lord. Run into the people. Get on the phone, call somebody, say, "I just need prayer. I don't even know what I need, but I just need help." And you just let the Spirit of God wash over you by connecting with people who have the Spirit of God and who are able to help you. That's why he says, "I wait for your word," right? Because the word is direction. How many people pray, but they never even hear what God has to say? You know, we come, we bring our things, our issues before God, our situation before God, then we just walk away. Well, guess what? You walked away with your problem because you didn't give it to God. You kept it. You need, because when the only way to give it to God is to for him to give you direction.
That's right.
He's got to give you a word.
Amen.
And it's not until you have a word that you will know what God is going to do or what his plan is to help you in your situation. So when you go before God in prayer, make sure you hear a word. You hear back from God. Nobody wants to talk to anybody who, when you call them on the phone, all they do is talk and then hang up. Right? You don't even get a word in. You don't get to say anything. They're just they're going on. Then they hang up, but you're like, click. You know, how many times is somebody gonna do that to you before you say, you know what, I'm not picking up? Right? I'm not even gonna answer that. Yeah. And it's because you really don't want a word, you don't want to really hear what someone else has to say. You just want to say what you want to say. Mm. And you don't want really to hear any feedback and no wisdom. You don't want any of that. But anyway, so our hope needs to be in the Lord.
Amen.
And the word wait, and I have this here, the word wait and the word hope are often translated similarly or the same. So when you're waiting on God, that's hope. That is hope. You're hoping for God. When the waiter comes to your table, you're hoping he's going to bring you the food you want to eat. Isn't that right? You know, so your hope is basically you looked at the menu and you chose something that was on the menu. You didn't pick something from you know, your mother's house. You know, hey, my mom makes this really well. Hey, you think you could make that? No, your guy says, look, you got to pick from the menu. And you got to choose from the word of God. And you take from the word of God, and now you can hope that the kitchen is going to send back what you ordered. Because if you don't, then you're not going to be satisfied, right? So go to the word of God, choose from the menu, let God speak into your life so that you can have hope that the guy in the back knows how to make the thing on the menu so that you can have a good meal. And that's what God will do for us. He will provide a good meal, but you got to choose from his menu. You got to do it God's way, and God will bring it to pass.
Amen.
In Hebrews 10:23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful.
Amen.
Wavering and doubt is like kryptonite. It will rob you of the power of God. If you don't have faith in God, if you don't have hope in God, you're not going to be able to overcome whatever the situations are. He says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That means you got to be doing something. God is looking for us to do something. We should be doers of the word, not just hearers only. So we have to be stimulated to do good deeds. That means you need somebody else to help you. It's a lot easier to do the right thing when you got help, when you got somebody there with you to help you stand. And you're having the same purpose. You both understand the vision and the direction that we're going in. And that's what God is working out by us coming together. And that's why he ends up here by saying, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day growing near.
Yes,
what day is that? It's the day of the Lord. When you see Christ's return coming, how do you know? Because evil will begin to increase in the world, and you will see Antichrist movements becoming stronger and more prevalent, and it's a sign of the times. And when you see all these things, we see, because the word of God tells us and shows us, so we're able to recognize it. So now we're able to gather together all the more. We make sure that we don't miss worship. We don't miss Bible studies or prayer meetings or gatherings together, because it's what strengthens us to keep us on the right side of the road when things get turned upside down. When we find ourselves in workplaces and dealing with unbelievers and people who have a different perspective, it's easy to get confused and to be spun so that you don't know what to say or you don't want to say. And a lot of people are afraid to even say anything. And that's because of all of the spinning around that's going on. And that's what Satan does. He brings in confusion. That is literally the definition of confusion. And so God is bringing us, he says, draw near, gather together, come together so that we can all help each other to have a godly perspective on what's happening in our lives. In verse 5, the psalmist says in Psalm 25, lead me in your truth. Amen. And teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For I wait or hope all the day. And so you and I, all day long, your hope has to be in the Lord. We're trusting in God. Amen. Don't be caught off guard. Amen. You're able to see. You know what's going on. And so be aware. Be sensitive. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. Let God minister to you. Let him talk to you throughout the day. Meditate on his word day and night. Allow the power of God to be manifested in your life. And you'll see, as it says here in Romans 15, 12, it says, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. You and I, we have hope today. We are the Gentiles. It's not just for the Jews, but it's for the Gentiles also. God has hope for us. There is hope in Christ Jesus. He is the root of Jesse. Jesus is our Redeemer. He is the one who enables us. And so he finalizes this whole piece by saying, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Saints of God, abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Allow the God of hope to fill you with all joy and peace and believing. Trust in the Lord, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. There is hope in this place, saints of God. Hope is in the house of the Lord. Hope happens here. Hope will happen wherever you go when your trust is in the Lord. You are on a mission from God. Allow the Spirit of God to use you so that hope can happen wherever you are, under the power and the direction of the Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, you know,
lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, let darkness run.
Well, Lord, we thank you for your word today, and we ask, oh God, that you would help us to align ourselves with your word, that our lives would be brought into a place of blessing where the flow of the Spirit of God is at work. Help us, oh God, to operate in the strength of the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit of God, so that hope may abound in every aspect of our lives. We thank you, O God, for bringing us together in one accord, in one place, that the Spirit of God may move. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give you thanks, O God. And all God's people said, amen, amen,
just to and amen. Know you and to make you know me, lift your name on high, shine.